The national media has reported on Turing Pharmaceuticals' 5,000% increase for Daraprim, a treatment for toxoplasmosis. There are numerous other pharmaceutical companies who have taken control of a drug and dramatically increased the price. After reading those stories and reflecting on comments made to me by a close friend and local pharmacist, I asked him to show me examples of price increases that he has seen in the last several years. He provided five examples reflecting the following dramatic price increases. Please excuse some mispronunciations. Colchicinine went from $18 per thousand to $578. Digoxin went from 88 cents per hundred to $78. Carrot cream went from $402 for 30 grams to $2,425. Levothyroxine, a generic, went from $12 to $48 in 6 months. And Tazmar, selling for $165 per hundred in 1998, increased to $4,525 in 2014, then to $9,895 in 2015. Serendipitously, the Kaiser Family Foundation released a poll in August of this year that found Americans have a greater concern for medication costs than they do about the Affordable Care Act. You likely know it as Obamacare. There are numerous issues probed in the poll, so we'll take a look at just a few. Some of the more interesting findings: 83% support allowing Medicare to negotiate drug prices on behalf of beneficiaries, as does Senator Sanders, a Brooklyn boy like Senator Schumer and I. 76% support limiting what drug companies can charge for medications to treat serious illness. 72% support allowing Canadian and other foreign pharmacies to fill prescriptions. Living close to the border, Senator Sanders and I support this too. While about half of the respondents are currently taking prescription drugs, 62% of the respondents feel that prescription drugs developed in the past two decades have improved the lives of people in the U.S. 72% say drugs are easy to afford, while 24% say they have a difficult time paying for their drugs, generally those with lower incomes or who have serious health-related issues. 86% of the respondents support requiring drug companies to release information to the public on how they set drug prices. The Republican presidential candidates continue to focus on the repeal of Obamacare. While no Democratic candidate has addressed the increasing cost of prescriptions until Hillary Clinton, in response to the Turing Pharmaceuticals disclosure, proposed capping out-of-pocket costs for prescription drugs at $250 per month. The Kaiser poll indicates that for the public, repealing Obamacare is much less of a concern. 44% of respondents have a favorable view, and 41% of respondents have a negative view. Only 28% of respondents want outright repeal, but most likely they have real-world concerns with drug prices. Numerous studies have indicated that if Medicare could negotiate drug purchases for Part B and Part D payments, Medicare costs would drop by approximately $15 billion a year. Medicare Part B, doctor's office for visits and outpatients expenditures, cost approximately $20 billion per year, while Part D, the prescription program, cost approximately $80 billion. Those savings would certainly help extend the life of this important program. If these savings were coupled with overall reductions in other drug costs, that would have a significant impact not only on the expenditures of the federal government, but also on families who have commercial insurance. The impact on consumers of increasing prescription costs will become more and more acute as copays and deductibles increase and baby boomers age, all of which will likely ratchet up the pressure on office holders to address these issues. Transparency is clearly a major concern of the public, but with the pharmaceutical industry unwilling to release information, the accuracy of the data related to profits, the cost of reinvestment in new drugs, the acquisition of startup entities, all remain a mystery. Pharmaceutical profits over the last 3 years have been averaging slightly over 17%, with revenue approaching $1 trillion. One solution would be to provide increased funding to NIH, who would then be directed to use this funding for research on drug development at universities and other research-focused not-for-profits, with the requirement that those entities place their research on the open market in exchange for a share in the profits, to be divided between the universities, not-for-profits, and NIH. the latter would recirculate the profits for further research, reward the researchers at the universities and other not-for-profits, and reduce the cost to the pharmaceutical companies with regard to research and development activities. There is likely legitimacy to the pharmaceutical industry's concern about R&D cost, as well as the FDA drug approval process. The CEO of Turing Pharmaceuticals states that as an entrepreneur, his sole goal is to make money for his investors, which he certainly has every legal right to do. There is an old saying in the legal field, bad facts make bad law. Raising the price of a drug 5,000% certainly creates bad facts, and a response like Mrs. Clinton's may well be bad law. Clearly, a market-based solution such as allowing imports from Canada or the negotiation of prices by Medicare should not be a source of complaint for someone whose only interest is in a competitive marketplace. Or is it only competitive if I have an unrestrained monopoly and donate to the right politicians?